Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. What an awesome morning. Welcome to the 12th Annual Real Estate Prayer Breakfast. We're glad you're all here with us today. My name is Jeff France. I'm a 13-year office leasing veteran at Jones Lang LaSalle. And never in my wildest dreams would I ever imagine myself giving what's known as the local testimony today. I'm glad you're here to hear it. I certainly never thought I'd be the opening act for Jeff Foxworthy down here. How painful is that? But let me take a quote from one of Jeff Foxworthy's comedic sidekicks, Larry the Cable Guy. Let's get her done. To begin with, let me take us all back to 2009. That's a year that a lot of us in this room want to soon forget. The meltdown of the commercial and residential real estate markets, probably the worst in our country's history, an economy that rivaled that of the Great Depression. It's a year that almost all of us in this room want to forget. I'll never forget that year. It was October in 2009, and I was having this nagging pain on my right side. So I decided to go see the doctor. I was a 46-year-old guy, never had a broken bone, never had a hospital visit. God had blessed me with tremendous health. My doctor must have agreed with me, because when I walked in the exam, he walked in the exam room, he said, "What's wrong with you? You look great." I told him of the nagging pain in my side, and he was thinking perhaps I had a bad gallbladder. So he sent me off for an ultrasound. There I was, chatting it up with the ultrasound technician while she was looking at her screen. Suddenly she paused. She began to ask me a thousand questions, it seemed like. I'll never forget when she walked across the room and leaned against her desk. I thought she was going to pass out on me. I went home that night. I told my wife, Melissa, "I think there's something wrong." 3 days later, I was sitting in my office on a 4:30 in the afternoon on a Friday. I was thinking about the fun the family was going to have the next day, a rare Halloween Saturday. We'd invited friends over so their kids could go trick-or-treating with my two sons, Scotty, 13, Cole, who's soon to turn 12. So when I picked up the phone, it was my doctor calling. I was suddenly taken to another place. My doctor said, "Jeff, I need to talk to you about your ultrasound. You have seven masses on your liver." After a moment to gather my composure, I asked my doctor, "You sure you got the right guy?" After all, God had blessed me with 46 years of outstanding health. He had the right guy, all right. And it wasn't just one mass, it was seven. And they were all large masses. He classified it as a tremendously polluted liver. I was first in denial. The next night, as my kids were trick-or-treating, I told two buddies what I had heard on my porch. They both agreed there had to be something wrong with the diagnosis. They tried to comfort me, saying it was probably something else. It wasn't. Needless to say, I went through all kinds of emotions that Halloween weekend. I was angry. I was scared. I felt all alone. Why would God have chosen me for this horrible news? I spent a lot of time on my knees that weekend praying for peace, asking for healing, and for God's grace on me and my family. The very next week, I went to the gastroenterologist who did some blood work and testing. He told me my CEA score, let's simplify, my cancer score, it should be under 5. My score was 816. Next, I had a colonoscopy. When it was over, I woke up. I was a little groggy, you know, trying to clear my head. My wife, Melissa, was standing next to me. The doctor said those words you never want to hear. You have cancer. Stage 4 colon cancer. I had a tumor that was restricting approximately 85% of my bowel. You see, my wife's a tough cookie. She's strong. She seldom cries. I looked over, and she was crying. My parents are alive today, well into their 80s, in great health. My brother's in fine health. My wife, she's experienced cancer, however. When she was a young girl, her older brother was diagnosed with cancer, eventually resulting in the removal of one of his legs. She knew the effect that cancer could have on a family. I was determined not to let this happen to her again. The first thing I said to the doctor was, "What do I need to do to fight this ASAP?" You see, God was in the room with his arms wrapped tightly around me that afternoon. Faith, not fear, was in charge of me at that moment. I was thinking about a verse that my boys and I often lean on in tough situations. Philippians 4:13. I can do everything through Jesus Christ who gives me strength. Yes, at that moment, I was comforted and felt a sense of peace because of my faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm here to tell you, I wasn't always a Christian. My mom was Christian Scientist. I grew up going to Christian Science Sunday school all through high school. I just really didn't get it. When I was in college at Purdue, I ran in a fast crowd. But one day, I met some girls who were Christians. They had a sense of peace. They were grounded in ways that I didn't find in many of my other friends. Their faith was extremely attractive to me. I'm not lying to you. The girls were very attractive too. But those girls led me to Christ. And one day I got down on my knees and I asked him into my life. I wasn't struck by lightning. My life didn't change overnight, but I began on a new path. That path led me to my beautiful wife, my wonderful 2 sons. I found inspiration in church, first from Frank Harrington at Peachtree Presbyterian, and later at church, at my current church, Mount Pisgah United Methodist Church up in Alpharetta. God was nudging me on a path. I didn't realize it. I didn't know where I was headed. But all along, I had a sense of peace. Peace. Because I had turned my life over to Jesus Christ and God, and they were in control. In the fall of 2008, I began to believe it was time for me to start a small group, a weekly small group, with my neighborhood buddies. I don't know why I thought that. I just knew I was supposed to. But God knew why I needed this group of men who met and talked about the Bible each week. In a small group, at least in my small group of 12, we all come in with our walls built up. We're all not used to sharing. But a year into that group, on that Monday morning after that Halloween weekend, my walls collapsed. I told my buddies I had cancer. I realized then why God had asked me to start that small group a year earlier. It was because I would need their love and support. They're here today. Thank you, guys. Thanks. Our church supported our family. Our school supported us. My colleagues at work reached out to me. Clients, neighbors, friends, strangers I've never even met. And the Atlanta real estate community came together and prayed for me. I remember one time before I left for a surgery, many of you in this room gathered and laid your hands on me and prayed for a successful surgery. I never asked to be the center of attention. I'm just a regular old guy. I work hard. I go about my business. I go home to my wonderful family. But I needed people. And God brought them into my life. As my wife and two sons watched, the real estate community put their hands on me that morning and pray for my recovery. I felt such a sense of peace, support, and strength. My sons were amazed to see that many people surround me. 1 week later, I saw more doctors than I had seen in a lifetime. I had colon surgery a week later to remove about 12 inches of my colon, and then aggressive chemotherapy 30 days later to begin the process of trying to shrink these 7 tumors in my liver. The 5-year survival rate for this type of cancer is less than 20%. That's not what I call a bright prognosis. I quickly forgot those statistics and remembered that God is large and in charge. My liver was so polluted with cancer that doctors couldn't operate on it, but 6 months of intense chemotherapy yielded just remarkable results. The liver tumors had shrunk 80 to 85% to a point where a liver resection was possible. God had answered so many prayers. 2 very different surgical approaches to this liver resection left us frustrated and confused. Remarkably, the 2 surgeons collaborated on a final recommendation. One of those doctors, who was exactly my age, said, "If it were me, I'd go to Sloan Kettering for the surgery and long-term treatment." God taught me how to listen, so we went to New York. The liver surgery was on June 17, 2010. It lasted approximately 6 hours, and they removed 65% of my liver. I'm thankful the Lord designed the liver to regenerate. During 10 days of recovery at the hospital, the staff was surprised by my positive, pleasant, can-do attitude. I had this constant desire to get up and walk. That was God at work again. Well, my journey didn't end there. It was more chemotherapy to treat any leftover cancer in the liver and throughout the body. The treatment regimen called for our monthly visits to Sloan Kettering for a checkup and treatment. During my August visit, my oncologist at Sloan pointed out a thumb-sized mass in my left lung. It was showing signs of growth. It was a setback on what was otherwise an outstanding report. The plan was to treat it with more chemotherapy and evaluate it over the next few months. Just this October, it was determined the chemotherapy wasn't shrinking the tumor, and surgeons removed it on November 30th at Piedmont Hospital. God had again blessed me with a successful surgery. On the next visit, on December 20th, just a month ago, the reports were all positive again, until my oncologist drew close to me, looked me straight in the eyes, and said, "Jeff, I'm concerned about 4 tiny spots on your left lung." There was more chemotherapy and more prayers. During this same visit, God intentionally put a woman in my path. Her name is Carol. She's from Albany, New York. You see, Carol, she had the identical journey I was battling. colon to liver to lung. That day, she was given the all clear sign. She was cancer free. This was God's way of giving me hope. I need hope. God is great. Let me tell you what I've learned. In working real estate deals, like all of us in here, we try to control every part of the deal. With this cancer, I'm not in control. God is. In my life, I've often tried to be self-reliant, not asking others for help. I've asked others for help in this case, and they've given me great strength. I've learned about the power of prayer and the peace and strength that come with it. I learned that Christmas isn't about the stuff. It's about spending time with your family. I've learned to tell my boys, I love you more often. My youngest son, Cole, he's the emotional one. Every few months, he'll stop by. He'll look me straight in the eyes. Dad, how are you feeling? He really wants to know. I tell him I'm doing great. I've been blessed by a wonderful life, a great job, a beautiful wife, great parents, great family, and he and his brother. One day, he was going to play a big soccer game. We had prayed before many, many, many times. And on this day, I knew he was extremely nervous. But we prayed the Philippians prayer before he went out on the field that day. I can do everything through Jesus who gives me strength. With 1 minute left in the game, my son, who had been running up and down the left side of the field, never quite getting in the flow properly, suddenly found a ball heading his way. He summoned his strength, and I just watched him buried in the back of the net. Winning the game and sending the team into the semifinals of the tournament. His teammates and coaches, they mobbed him after the game. But he didn't get too excited. He took it in stride. He knew where his strength had come from. So did I. These days, I get down on my knees every night and thank God for 45 years of wonderful health. I ask God to grant me peace and strength so I can have another 45 years. I want to see my children graduate. I want to see them get married. I want to be there to support my wife, Melissa, as she supported me during this time. I want to come to a dozen more real estate prayer breakfasts. I want to help and support and pray for others who need it. For I found that in turning it over to God, I found an extended family, a community of faith, people who have supported me on my journey. I'm here to tell you, all of you are now in my adopted family. I'm also here to tell you that I could not have made it through all that I've been through without the peace that God has placed in my heart. My prayer today is that you will open your hearts and your minds and your souls and give your life to Jesus Christ. No matter when you take that step, no matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing, I will praise God that you took that step. I'm hoping that today is that blessed day in your life. It's a blessed day in mine. Thanks for sharing it with me. Allow me to close with another verse from Philippians that's given me great strength and peace. Philippians verse 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Thank you.